Hello and welcome to the Movie Podcast. My name is Shabazz, and joining alongside me, fresh from his exorcism, is Anthony. Anthony, how are you doing? Oh my God.
I got a little.
Were you the one being exorcised, yeah, or were you the one doing the exorcism?
I have a little left. Okay. It wouldn't leave.
It's like, you know, when you're sick, you're like, oh, I got some phlegm in my throat. No, I got some demon in my lungs still.
Yeah, like, let me call the Vatican. We still have the demon inside of Anthony. We can't get rid of it.
You definitely sound a lot like the Muppet animal. Like, you're like, blah, 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 or like even the Tasmanian devil as well.
Yeah, I didn't know any languages that are not spoken anymore, so
I'd be so impressed if you did, I'll be honest with you.
Like, me too.
Anthony spoke in Aramaic. Wow, what are the odds? Right after Easter, he's all of a sudden just speaking a dead language.
Yeah. No.
How are you doing, man?
I at this point, I'm doing a little bit better than I was yesterday. So
I'm so glad. Yeah. I'm so glad. Like, yes, get all the demons out of you, because we are post-Easter. Jesus has risen and Daniel has died. Yeah. That's how it works.
Yes. He's in the cave somewhere.
He's not here right now.
He's in a hole.
He's in a cave.
We're waiting for him to be risen, but it hasn't happened. I think he's dead for real.
Well, his birthday just passed, so technically he is either alive or dead. We don't know. You know, it's always up in the air with him.
Yeah, that's true. We'll see if he shows up to Las Vegas, you know?
We'll see. Yeah, we're going to Vegas, man. How do you feel about that?
I'm feeling excited. You know, I've never been. We're going to gamble. Going to rob the Bellagio, maybe.
Oh, okay. Yeah, any more crimes you want to confess to while we're at it?
Yeah, I think that's it. I'm not going to go too deep into, you know, what stays in Vegas. What's the saying?
What happens in Vegas?
What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Really early in the morning.
You're so close, though. You're so close.
What stays in Vegas, man, stays in Vegas.
Yeah, like, I guess that also does make sense. You're not wrong. But Anthony, we are talking about a very special movie today. We're talking about The First Omen. We had this incredible opportunity to speak to the director, Arkasha Stevenson, and the lead of the film, Nell Tiger-Free, who we've had on the show before for Servant on Apple TV Plus. This is awesome. And I want to give a huge shout out to our friends over at 20th Century Studios Canada for allowing this opportunity to watch the movie, but also to talk to these lovely, lovely people, because what a film it was. I mean, we had a great time watching it, you and I, early in the morning, screaming and crying the whole time.
Yeah, it was a really surprising film for me, because again, The Omen was such a long time ago, and all these other Omens have come out, and you know, you kind of get put in, you know, this franchise gets put into a certain kind of like a repetitive nature of this is what we're expecting, but this movie really was unexpected. There was a lot of things that I enjoyed about it, and I was, you know, frightened and scared, and
it's
really, it definitely really
lingers,
scary,
right? It definitely lingers with you. Like, I think after we watched it, we were like, oh yeah, that was really good. And then like the day after, we were like still thinking about it and really like dissecting it, because we're in this era of horror movies that are almost like, they're not sequels, they're not prequels, they're just kind of like rewriting kind of where the franchise goes. And this is obviously a prequel because it is The First Omen, but the fact that it ties it in so well together with the original Omen by Richard Donner is just done so well, and we're really excited for people to go watch it. Again, it will be in theaters April 5th, so either today if you're listening to this, or the day before, the day after, just depends on what day it is on your calendar. Well, again, I don't want to take it too long. I want to kick it right over to our interviews, because we had a really fun conversation. If you get a chance to watch our YouTube version to this, please go ahead, because it's a lot of fun. We have a lot of great things that pop up during this interview as well. So go ahead and you can subscribe to us there. You can also follow us on every single social media platform out there at The Movie Podcast. Join our Discord as well. If you have been to an exorcism or you have exercised before, a great place to do that would be telling us in our Discord chat, because I think we're very curious about that.
Oh, I would be super curious about that.
Yeah. And if you can translate what Anthony said at the beginning of this episode, that's also very important, I think, too.
Yes. Because I need to know, because I don't know.
Because I was channeling a demon, absolutely. And of course, you can subscribe to us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. Leave a comment. 5 stars really helps us out. And you can also subscribe to our Patreon, because these mics, they cost money to run. The electricity goes through them, and our voices go through them as well. So if you can do that, that'd be super helpful. But if not, again, just comment, like, and subscribe, and that always helps us as well. Well, I don't want to take too long, like I said in the beginning, but I did take a little bit longer than I expected. So let's kick it over to our interviews with Nell Tiger Free and Arkasha Stevenson. Hi, Nell. How are you doing today?
I'm good. How are you?
We're doing great. Thank you so much for taking your time with us today on the Movie Podcast. It's so great to talk to you again. We actually had a chance to speak to you for Servant last year.
Yeah.
And you're back in the horror world again.
Here I am, back again. Can't get rid of me.
We love that. No, we don't want to get rid of you. In fact, we're going to have you on the show always from now on. That's how it's going to go.
Amazing. I'll be there whenever you need me.
Love it. And congratulations on the premiere last night. That must have been such an amazing experience.
Dude, I'm like, wow. It was wild. It really was wild. It felt like almost like we were like a Rocky Horror. Like, it was such an interactive audience. It was a big audience, which was amazing. Everybody's reactions were exactly what we were hoping for. So it was just a fantastic experience. I had all my friends and family with me, and they were all having to clamber over and grip onto me when some of the more harrowing things were going down. I assured them that I was actually there and I was okay.
Anthony and I unfortunately had to watch it with just, I think, him and I in the theater.
Yeah.
And so we were only holding on to each other in this giant theater, screaming for our lives.
Clinging on to each other for dear life.
Exactly. Now, you're getting this amazing opportunity to step into the world of The Omen and its long legacy of sequels. What does it mean to you now to leave your stamp on this franchise?
It's amazing. It's such a heady experience, like, to recognize where I now fit into sort of the lore and the legacy of it. It's, as a horror fan, like a real genuine horror fan and a massive fan of the original, it's like I'm getting a real kick out of it, to be honest with you. Really, it hasn't kind of sunk in yet that I'm like now a part of this world. It's so fun. It's so fun.
It must feel like surreal too, to be
it is.
Come so many years from the past to the future to still be part of the story.
It is. I never, like, when I was like 11 and like snuck over to my next door neighbor's house to watch The Omen on DVD, which I used to do all the time. She had all the best horror films and I would just sneak over and we watched all of them. It was very, very misbehaving of us. But like, whilst watching that as a kid, like, if somebody had told me that I would become a part of it, it was just, it's just such a, it really is. It's a trippy experience. It is.
We love that.
So much fun. Yeah.
Now, without going into spoilers, there's a pivotal scene where you step out of a car and deliver a very powerful performance. What was your mindset like as you prepared for that moment?
Me and Kasha just had a lot of conversations, and she explained to me what she wanted it to achieve and what she wanted it to feel like. We didn't want it to feel gimmicky or silly or, you know, it just wanted... That scene for me was like the one I was looking forward to the most and the one I was most nervous about, because I knew for Arkasha, she said to me it was like the scene that she felt needed the most, and like it was the one that she was the most anticipating the most. And I loved her and I wanted to do a good job for her and I wanted her to get what she imagined when she wrote the scene. And preparation wise, we didn't have any rehearsals. It wasn't choreographed. I'm not on some sort of pulley device like I've been hearing rumors about. It was just, we just stood in the road and she came up and she whispered to me, you know, scare the shit out of them. Sorry for swearing. Bleep me. I'm sorry.
No, it's
all good. She whispered that in my ear and I just clicked in and gave it a go. We did it in 2 takes, which was a lot of fun.
Wow.
Yeah. 1 shot, 2 takes.
That's actually amazing. Cause yeah, that scene was just so hard to watch because you're just really just pushing it all the way through and we're just so in love with this movie. It's absolutely terrifying. We're going to have trouble sleeping for the next couple of nights. I mean, not Anthony.
Good. I'm going to sleep easy.
That's good. Well, you know, Mel, thank you so much again for your time. We obviously love this movie. We hope to have you again on this show for something down the road. And we can't wait for the movie to come out as well.
Thank you so much. I'm so happy you guys enjoyed it.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Take care.
I'll talk to you soon. See you on the next one.
Hi, Arkasha. How are you doing today?
Hey, guys.
Congratulations on the premiere last night. The reactions to this movie have been so overwhelming.
Thank you. It's we've been hit with a love truck and I love it. So it's been very nice.
Also, we are still very terrified from watching it. I mean, Anthony's not going to admit it because he's trying to pretend like he chooses not to be scared.
I have to go to confession. That's how they'll know.
Yeah. The World of the Omen has had so many entries. We're curious for yourself. What excited you most about getting to kind of explore this world further?
Well, you know, what I love so much is when I got to read the script, it was already in such a beautiful place and it was so exciting and had such beautiful bones. And, you know, I was so surprised that it was going to be told through the point of view of this young novitiate, which wasn't what I was expecting at all. And so it really hooked me in there. And I think having such a fresh way in, I think, was so exciting. And knowing where we started and knowing where we ended left so much room to play, which was really, I think it's really important because, you know, by the end of the movie, you find out how Damien was born. So we got a lot of time to explore why.
You really throw a lot of curveballs at us throughout this entire process that we were just like, wow, we didn't expect to go there, didn't expect to go there. So really, really awesome stuff.
Thanks, man. I appreciate that.
When you were writing the film, was there any like film inspiration or maybe book inspiration or religious texts that you came across that kind of helped you progress the story and kind of make it your own thing?
Yeah. Well, you know, it's so that question is so interesting because it's probably just about every movie I've ever watched in my whole life. You'll see a snippet of that in the film, but real fast, and I'll try and go quickly because I know you don't have a lot of time, but one of the things when we started the project, I work with Tim Smith, is my creative partner. We went to Rome and wanted to do research. And we were looking at a lot of religious tableaus of hell. We actually first got to Rome on Dante Aguilera's 700th and 50th anniversary of his death. So there's all these art exhibits that were dedicated to depictions of the topography of hell. And there was this one exhibit where you had a bunch of Bosch tableaus of like demons mutilating humans. And then on the second floor, it was dedicated to artwork that was done by survivors of the Holocaust. And this, I think, impacted us the most and really grounded us in the story the most because we realized that this was a story about humans bringing hell to earth, which almost dissipates a supernatural element, really. Like the scary people in this movie are people. It's not the devil. And so looking at that artwork was really, we kept returning to Bosch a lot.
I don't know if that's like really good luck that you happen to be in town right when that was happening.
Guys, I won't even joke. We were walking, like, I don't even think we were hired yet. And we landed in Rome and it was raining. And we were like, man, maybe this was a mistake. You know, What are we doing here? And we're walking down the street. And then we come across this big sign that says Satan. and Tim goes, you're kidding me. You're in the right place.
Your own omen. In a sense.
Yeah. What's the behind the scenes of the making of the movie? That's what we want to see.
Man, that's the movie. Yeah.
You're able to capture that 70s aesthetic of the original Omen movie so well, just with the long shots and the zooms. You know, what was it like to really find that look?
It was really important to us to make it feel like if you watched a double feature with the original Omen, that maybe they were shot during the same period. And so, you know, one of the things that I love about the 76 Omen is that it's not hyper stylized. It's really about the characters and about the character development and the drama between Gregory Peck and Lee Remick. And so staying a bit quiet with the camera was important, at least starting, and so that you could create a journey. And then the camera can start to become more stylized as she feels like this force is overtaking her. But that was a big inspiration was Klute. I think also a lot of it was pacing, like trying to pace out the movie and go slow and get to know the characters. And so we looked a lot to Klute and kind of the creation of Jane Fonda's character in that movie, how much time you get to take with her to really appreciate the complexities of her internal landscape.
Yeah, no, definitely. It's very, yeah, it's obvious there. Yeah.
Yeah. The ending of this movie opens the door to a lot of possibilities. Where are you hoping to explore the story for the Omen's future?
Yeah, that's a great question that I don't have a great answer to because I could go I could go backwards, I could go forwards, you know, I could go sideways. It's really interesting because, you know, the big question is where did Damien come from, right? And once you get that answer at the end of the film, you think you'd be satisfied. But for me as an Omen fan, I had a million more questions, you know? And also I had fallen in love with Margaret and these girls. I wanted to see how they progressed in the world. But I also am very curious about the Jackal and about this, you know, this conspiracy within the church and how that started, and continue to explore those motivations, which would push us back in time. So I want to go this way.
that's a good way to go. Because again, yeah, like you mentioned, there's so many different areas that you can explore. And that's what excited us most about the ending of this movie, that obviously getting into spoilers, we're just like, wow. We're left with a lot more questions, but in such a good way.
Thank you.
For sure.
Appreciate that.
We've talked about how you fought really hard to get an R rating for The First Omen. How different would you say the final film is from the original script?
Not that different, actually. To be totally honest, you know, I think from the get-go, everybody involved was really excited about subverting expectations. I think when you get into an Omen prequel, you assume it's going to be a creepy kid movie, and then you fall in love with the main character and realize that this is her journey. And especially when Nell Tiger Free came on board, that just locked and loaded it, you know. She's amazing, and it was really exciting getting to explore this story with her.
Absolutely. Yeah, she really brought this very likable persona to the character that you're kind of just always wondering, like, I really hope nothing bad happens to her. I really hope nothing bad happens to her. And the entire time you're just rooting for her. So yeah, I agree with you. Nell Tiger is just phenomenal in this movie.
She's a tiger. Yeah.
what are you really hoping that, like, what is the fear that you're hoping that audiences kind of take away from this? Like, have you kind of shown it to anybody that, you know, your friends or family, and how have they reacted to the horror of it all?
Yeah, well, our moms are overjoyed, and which is so, like, that's the biggest thing for me, which is so nice. But I think what was really exciting is, and which I hope that people walk away with, is I think body horror kind of reconnects me to my own body, and I hope that does that for other people, and I hope that there's a humanizing aspect in body horror, I think, if you do it with love. And and that was something, I think it's really nice to feel grounded and in your body, especially nowadays when everything's virtual, you know. I think it's I don't know if that's a real answer, but
no, that's perfect. Yeah, I love that you touch upon that, because you're right. When you've spoken about body horror before, You have a way of, you know, humanizing that moment. Instead of going for a shock, you're really just trying to show this is a fact. This is what's happening here. And the movie does a phenomenal job of that.
I grew up on horror, and I love horror, and I love body horror especially. I think that because it's so upsetting to look at, there is an impulse to kind of glorify it or fetishize it a bit. Mm-hmm. And that was something we were trying to check ourselves on with this movie, is to make it hard to look at, even when shooting it, to keep it human and make it hurt.
Well, Akasha, thank you so much for your time. We really hope we get to talk to you in the future, and we're so excited for this movie to come out and for people to be scared once again to go to church, I guess, is what the goal is with the movie.
Isn't that the goal of church, though?
Yeah.
Especially the church.
Well, thank you so much, and we hope we talk to you again soon.
Oh, thanks, you guys. Thanks for the love.